Ladies and gentlemen, good day, and welcome to the Q3 FY23 earnings conference call of Control Print Limited, hosted by Asian Markets Securities Limited. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. Actual results may differ from such expectations, projections, et cetera, whether expressed or implied. Participants are requested to exercise caution while referring to such statements and remarks. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Karan Bhatelia from Asian Markets Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Michelle. Ladies and gentlemen, good evening, and welcome all to the Control Print Limited third quarter and nine months FY23 earnings conference call, hosted by Asian Markets Securities. From the management side, we have with us Mr. Shiva Kabra, Joint Managing Director, and Mr. Jaideep Barve, Chief Financial Officer. Now, I would hand over the call to Jaideep for his opening remarks, post which we shall open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you.
Hello, everybody. Good evening to you. I'm Jaideep Barve, the CFO of Control Print Limited. Welcome to the earnings conference call for the third quarter of the financial year 2022-23. Appreciate that you've taken out time from your busy schedule to attend this one. Hope you all are safe and healthy, and wish you and your family a happy and prosperous new year. Mr. Shiva Kabra, the Joint Managing Director of Control Print Limited, joins me on this call. The detailed presentation has already been put up on the website, as well as in the investor presentation notification on the exchanges for this call. For those who are probably reviewing this company for the first time, we would like to mention that Control Print Limited is in the niche coding and marking segment. This is an oligopoly with just four major players, three of whom are multinational corporations, and us, that is Control Print Limited, is the only Make in India manufacturer. We have two manufacturing facilities, one in Nalagarh in Himachal Pradesh, and the second one in Guwahati in the state of Assam. At Nalagarh, we manufacture printers. In Guwahati, we manufacture certain types of printers and the consumables required for our operations. We have got a strong sales and service team of 350+ engineers spread across the country. At the back end, we've got a robust SAP ERP system, which takes care of all our financial, production, purchase, and sales. We also have an integrated CRM system. Thus, we provide maximum transparency in the accounting, sales, after sales, as well as raw material planning and order to receive collection processes. Our systems and processes are robust, and they give necessary confidence to the team, vendors, customers, bankers, auditors, and investors. We do have a widespread customer base catering to multiple industries like pipes and cables, metal, automotive, food and beverages, dairy, FMCG, and pharma sectors. We've got a robust IB base spread across the country. At the moment, we are about 16,500+ printers across industries. Let me give you a brief analysis of the standalone financial statements of Control Print Limited for the Q3 of FY22-23. On an overall basis, the manufacturing activities in the third quarter continued with a rising momentum, as most of the industries who take the printers and consumables from us also continued their production and met their higher demands. However, we believe that it is still not at optimum level. There is a lot of scope of improvement, thereby our printers as well as consumables in business also is going to increase. On the revenue front, there was an increase in the printers as well as the consumables business in Q3. Both printers and consumables registered strong growth patterns. Our service portion of revenue continues to be stable, so as is the spares portion of the revenue. The revenue for the quarter witnessed a year-on-year growth at 20%. We continue to penetrate competitor accounts in key sectors like pipes, food, FMCG, dairy, cement, and pharma. Our overall industry performance in the nine months is still largely dominated by the pipe sector, followed by the food, FMCG, dairy and cement. In the plywood sector, we have achieved good control and probably we are the most dominant player in the sector. In the sugar industry, we've consolidated our position as one of the key market leaders. In the consumption side, we can only say that the gross margin for the quarter two, quarter three has dropped as compared to the previous quarter. This is mainly because of raw material purchases at high rates in the spot market. The management is working at a strategic level to optimize inventories so as to sustain any probability for shortages for a period of further 3 months. Employee costs as a percentage of sales have come down marginally, but overall these are the same levels in absolute numbers as compared to the Q2. Depreciation and other expenses are steady as in comparison with the earlier quarters. With reference to the profitability levels, on a year-on-year basis, the EBITDA, the PBT, PAT and the EPS have grown by approximately 30%, 45%, 42% and 42% respectively. Company maintains healthy margins. The EBITDA has been stable at 26 to 27% for the last 6-7 quarters. But we feel there still exists a considerable scope for improvement in EBITDA because higher revenues will come and obviously there will be economies of scale attached to it. For us, the way forward is we look forward to higher consumable sales with improved industrial production. We've launched a new product in the LCP segment. Our earlier product Pinch has stabilized in the market now. In marketing, we are focusing on the key accounts. Our installed base will be increased in the future, thereby we will increase our market share. As you all know, we have established a holding company Reliance, which has acquired another company called Markprint. We expect some good traction with them. And obviously, last but not least, new technologies are being explored. With this brief background, I leave the floor open for any questions.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question, please press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. You may press star and one to ask a question. We have the first question from the line of Deepan Shankar from Trustline PMS. Please go ahead.
Good evening, everyone, and thanks a lot for the opportunity and congratulations for a good set of numbers. So firstly, Jaydeep, can you please provide the breakup between printer, consumable and other set of revenue?
See, printer revenue would be about 20% of our revenue. Consumables for this quarter would be about 57%. Services would be about 13% and spares would be roughly about 8%.
Okay. So we have seen consumables growing at a better rate than even printers. So the product mix profile has been favorable for us, but still gross margins has been lower. So any specific reason for that?
The gross margin has dropped marginally as compared to the sales. Basically because we are a company which is depending on semiconductors and chips as well as electronic boards. And right now, not just us, but the other players in our market as well as the other players in the other sector, everybody is facing shortages of such components. As a result of that, as a strategy, what we are doing is that in order to make sure that we have the required materials for the production, we are buying it at a spot market. We also have got contacts with our regular customers, regular suppliers. But then, the lead times with them are quite high. So just to not fall out of stock and not to have a situation where, we have orders, we cannot, execute them. We are, buying at higher prices and making sure at least we are having a risk-conscious attitude in our work. Shiva, you might wish to add anything on this?
Yeah, I think it's put well. I think that there is a... basically some cost increases that have happened and, we've not maybe acted proactively to, increase our prices to our customers and we're sort of looking at that. And we're working on that. But it's a slow process because, of course, everyone is resistant to that. So, you know, hopefully we'll get enough of a cost and a price increase to cover the, you know, the cost and fees that have come our way. I think I will say that, you know, some of the cost increases look like they're more permanent in nature now. One set of cost increases because we bought things from the spot market to fulfill our shortages. One set is also that I think some suppliers want to raise the price, you know, so that is the way it is. And we'll have to respond by either, you know, re-engineering things or getting alternative suppliers or, you know, convincing our customers to pay more and working on all three fronts.
Okay. So, if I understand correctly, so this gross margin from the printers business has gone down substantially, but consumables remaining at the same level. So, but if we can pass on the prices to customers, so our margins can improve from here on as well, right?
A little bit of all. So, I think even the consumables, like, of course, like I said, the gross margin is still very high. It might have gone down by 1 or 2%. You know, so the price increase has been across the board 1 or 2% on an overall basis, but it's you won't feel it that way. It's like some items which are short have gone up drastically. So they could have gone up 100, 200%, you know, certain chips or other things. But yeah, definitely the effect is seen more on the printers because the printers are, you know, sold on a, like almost no profit basis. So the cost increases out there definitely affect us a lot harder. But you know, I mean, there was a shortage, so we had only two choices. Either you pay or you shut down. So, I mean, this is the story for the last, you know, couple of years now. But what happened is that, you know, maybe as, you know, as I guess, yeah, it is, there is some higher cost inventory that has there some spot market purchases, which will at least moderate for sure. Then the rest is,
Okay. And lastly, from my side, so this food and pharma being a dominant sector for these MNC players in our sector, so how is our market share improving there? So are we getting good reference points from our existing customers to expand into this space to improve our market share?
Are you talking about the pharmaceutical market? I don't know, or which?
Yeah, food and pharma specifically. Yeah.
Yeah. So we've been increasing our percentage of sales there. What happens is that for us, I think overall in this quarter, you know, there's been a bit more production normalization. So you know, even in some sectors like pipes or other segments of ours, there has been a bit of fluctuation because, you know, even they've had some increases in resin prices or, you know, decreases. I'm not sure actually what happened, but there's been some fluctuations. So even their production has been affected, you know, basically the construction material segment, you know, has been affected more up and down, or some of the more industrial segments. So because they sort of come back to normal, the growth that we should have, you know, gotten the last 1 or 2 years by selling the printers, we didn't get so much. And this time, it's just that they're buying, you know, fluids at a more normal rate. And that's why we've got a better result. So I think, you know, the obviously our overall percentage of food and pharmaceutical, dairy, food and beverage and so on is increasing as a percentage of our overall revenue. But ours is still industrial, you know, a little bit more industrial dominated. But you know, it's improving in that it's becoming more balanced. It's going towards 50-50, if slowly and steadily. And our market share in specific segments is also improving.
Okay. Good to know. Thank you, and I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star and one now. We have the next question from the line of Naisar Parikh from Native Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good evening, Shivai and Jaideep, and thanks for taking the time. So my question is on the, you know, Markprint acquisition. Can you talk about the performance of the company? What was the revenue in 2022? And secondly, we had plans to kind of bring some of those technologies into India, and modify it with our printers, et cetera. So where are we on that journey?
So I can take your second question, but Jaideep will answer your first question. And I think, I'll to be honest, we only consolidated them from July 4th or something in sometime earlier this year. So I don't know if we're allowed to talk of the prior period before that. So, that also is something that Jaideep will work back on.
Yeah. Deshav, just for your benefit, as rightly said by Shiva, I mean, the acquisition happened on the 4th of July. So from 5th of July onwards, we are consolidating. But I mean, the period ended December. It looks good. We've got 500,000 euros as the revenue, and one-tenth of it or 11% of it goes as a net profit for the company. Yeah, right, sir. You are there?
Yes, I got that. So my second question was on the technology bit for the market.
Yes. So we're behind on that. We expected to, maybe have some things starting by the end of this year. Maybe we'll only see that towards like practically March of this year. So what happens is that their mentality in their year end is also for December 31st. So they also had some orders that they needed to execute. So they were really quite busy with that, so there was no time to work jointly on development or other types of projects because they had their own business that they had to execute, which took their priority for the last 2-3 months. And so that's the situation. But we've got some stuff lined up. I think a much more consolidated strategy in the coming year. And I think in 3 to 6 months, we should actually see, some things come out. And my experience is that we will have to revise some of those things because to improve them and modify them for the markets that we are in, and also to eliminate all the bugs and the issues that actually happen. And so the optimization will happen, and then we'll have products which are really solid for the market, probably in like 12 to 15 months, to 12 to 18 months, something like that.
Understandable. Got it. Thank you. And my second question is on the track and trace technology. So on that again, are we seeing any progress with customers, either current or new? And what would be our plan on that one going forward?
So actually, we're working quite aggressively on that right now. There is, some different requirements that are there. So I can't talk about specific customers on things, but in general, in the pharmaceutical industry, it's a continuing requirement. This time, it's a domestic requirement. I think if the government is not going to go back on, some requirements that they've asked. So that should be interesting also. And the thing is, I think these are much more difficult executions. Because, like I said, we have sort of come from behind in this market. We didn't have the solution earlier, and what's happened was, as a result, customers also give us the more difficult projects where they're not able to get solutions easily. So it's like a catch 22, But what's happening in our experience also needs to improve. So it's a bit of everything, But definitely, it's going on reasonably well, is what I'd say.
Well, so
I mean, the financial results are not there, but we're making progress. There is some financial results. It's not enough to make any difference to our top line and bottom line, but we're making progress out there.
Yeah, understood. Of course, I think that will take a couple of, that'll take a few quarters. But just from a product perspective, would you say that we have a product in place and now, it's just about more getting customers and installing it, or are we still in a product testing and getting the product right stage as well?
So a bit of both. We do have a product, and we are optimizing it as we go. And what happens is, you know, different customers have different lines, different requirements. You know, so a lot of times different handling systems come in, you know, different types of printers and vision systems or scanners come in. So you need to keep improving. So like what will happen is you'll develop a standard product. Then so the customer will have some, you know, various requirements that you see, I want to print on an injectable or a vial or something. You have to develop a solution for that. Or someone will not have space on his thing, you know, or someone will need to print with an invisible ink and then scan it with a specific type of scanner. So some people want an OCR or a vision, you know, like not just a 2D scan. So there are different sorts of requirements that come up, and you have to cater to all of them because, so what you do is you sort of have a stack. It's like making a standard car, and then you have like, you know, an automatic version and a four-wheel drive version and this. But, you know, you made the standard car, and you got to keep doing all those things because that's what specific customers want for their specific, and that's what the specific lines demand. And then you have to cater to that.
Right, understood. And
I hope that answer was explanatory.
Yes. No, that is very helpful. One last question, then I'll come back in the queue. Is on your sales and service team, you know, how big is that team today and how has it grown like in the last maybe 6-9 months? And, you know, are there, in terms of coverage of clients or getting new clients, like are those any particular metrics that you track and you can share, you know, from sales and service perspectives?
Jerry, how many people exactly do we have approximately in the...
350+ engineers spread between sales and service. 350.
Okay. And how has that grown and do we plan to like expand that again, you know, further in the coming quarter significantly or something?
So as of right now, we have enough to cover what our markets. We might need about 20 to 30 more salespeople, maybe a few specialized service people, because what's happening is, like you said, you know, things like track and trace come up or, you know, like mark print type solutions. And honestly, these are not like product sales, which is what we do. These are like projects.
Yeah.
You know, so people have to study the line, you know, integrate with their parent line, you know, get data from their SAP, integrate it, send it back here, put it to the cloud and click an SMS authenticate. You know, like there are all sorts of things that happen. And so it's a different type of, you know, also it requires like a skilled person, but also people who got a sort of cross-functional mentality, so they understand not only the electronics, but also like definitely a lot more software expertise, you know, and also a bit of mechanical stuff because the actual handling of the products and, you know, that part is quite important. So I don't think we need like large numbers of people, but we need like, you know, people who got a bit slightly more trade style.
Got it. And the 350 is comparable to competition in the sense size adjusted, like are we at par in terms of coverage or would competition have more or less for the same size of revenue?
I think we probably have a similar team compared to VideoJet and Domino. I think Image might be a bit smaller. Similar teams, maybe in fact our team might be a bit bigger than VideoJet and Domino on the service side, maybe not on the sales side, but on the service side, yeah, could be. But we've always emphasized like a high quality of service. So I think I'm quite sure we have, you know, at least, you know, 30-40%, 50% more service engineers than them.
Got it. Thank you so much. This is very helpful and all the best. Thank you. I'll come back in the queue. Thanks.
Thank you. Participants who want to ask a question may please press star and one now. We have the next question from the line of Karan Bhatelia from Asian Market Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I recollect we had one order which was yet to be executed completely. 70 TIJ printers for the brewery company and a couple of laser printer on the export. So how are we standing as of now?
I think we must have executed all outstanding orders. They always come at the end of every quarter, but there's nothing like major that's outstanding. So, you know, normally in fact we don't talk about specific customers as well. So I'm surprised. I actually didn't know we had ever disclosed anything like that. But yeah, there's nothing specific that's major that, you know, would warrant a public announcement, I think.
Yeah, this I'm referring from the second quarter con call. Yeah, and Jaideep sir, what would be the...
So those would have been executed. Those would have been executed. It could have been... We've had some like supply chain issues throughout. You know, even now we have some, but we are, you know, trying our best to work through it. So yeah, there have been times when, you know, there have been some backlogs and then they get cleared and then the new backlogs and things like that, yes.
Right. That was helpful. And Jaideep sir, volume printers this quarter and volume printers for the second quarter as well.
I would imagine we sold 800 plus printers in Q3 and about 675 plus printers in Q2.
Thank you. That's it from my side. I'll follow up in a queue.
Thanks.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star and one now. We have the next follow-up question from the line of Naysar Parekh from Native Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the chance again. So my question was on the mix between CIJ, non-CIJ. For this quarter, and also if you could talk a bit about, where do we stand in the non-CIJ category now in terms of, say, market share versus some of the other players?
Yeah, Shiva.
As far as market share goes, I can only say this, that you know, it's not possible for us to disclose because we only have an idea of how other people are doing, right? We do get their numbers at the end of every year from the registrar of companies, but there's no breakup of anything from their side, right? So there's no, it's a very broad level, sort of a breakdown, right? It's just a revenue number and, expenses and profits and so on. So you know, it's very difficult for us to know what their mix is. It's just an idea. But I do believe that at least in the thermal inkjet and the piezo, you know, the high-res space, we have two good products and we're doing well there. And in the thermal transfer space and the laser space, we are more competitive than what we were before, for sure. Especially in the laser marking space, we have picked up to some extent. And the CIJ market is still the main market, but as a percentage of our revenue, I think non-CIJ has definitely increased, and some of our growth has also been, the non-CIJ would have also contributed to growth, significantly, not just the CIJ. But Jaideep might give you like a better overall number on this.
Jaideep, do you have the numbers?
Well, I have the numbers, but these are strictly confidential numbers, the breakup. I mean, we wouldn't give this period of time.
Okay, understood. Fine, got it. And my final question is, I think you'd mentioned around 400 crores, is what you were looking for, as a near-term target, I think maybe 24, 25. So just want to understand, in that journey, where do you think we are and, what are the two, three things we need to do to, get there and by when we can get there?
Yeah, I think that target was sort of put out by our board, and they sort of put that as something that we should aspire to at least. And I think we're doing fine on the path out there, and we should get there, approximately in those dates. If things go well, of course, so it also does depend overall on the broad economy, because in the end, we're not supplying something direct to consumer. We're supplying, on products which are then being supplied to consumers or businesses elsewhere. So
obviously we saw with the COVID and then of course, you know, with some variations that happened with the Russian Ukraine situation, they can have like weird effects on the, you know, on various markets. So yeah, you've seen some fluctuations on our own side in the last 2 to 3 years now. So you know, assuming things are like okay, I think we should get there. There are other opportunities we have to tap, like you said, like the track and trace, like the market. I don't think everything has to go well, but we have to get a couple of things going well to get that extra boost to get there. And that should happen. That should happen.
Got it. So, if I heard you right, you're saying 400 crore should be like the FY25 target?
Yeah, approximately that's what the target that has been set for us. And so, you know, we are obviously trying to meet that expectation.
Got it. Understood. No, that makes sense. And thanks a lot for taking my questions. All the best. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor and Company. Please go ahead.
Namaskar, sir. And thank you for this opportunity. Sorry, maybe my questions will be repetitive. I was very late to join the call. Sir, as we have seen the nature of our business, quarter four is traditionally, in terms of revenue, the best quarter. So, for taking into account what have historically been, is there a very good likelihood that we will be having Q4 also traditionally the way it has been over the last few years?
I mean, it's not possible for us to predict because, like, we're only, 18, 20 days into the quarter. So we'll obviously, you know, be able to know, like, you know, maybe in 2 months, 2.5 months. But the market seems okay. Like, I don't think it seems bad or good or anything. Like, as of right now, it seems stable. You know, that's what I would say. So now it all depends on how we perform. You know, I wouldn't say like the market is overly booming. I wouldn't say the market is overly bad. Obviously, compared to the ups and downs of the last 2.5 years, it's a better situation. But, you know, it's for us to perform, I think, to you know, get that continued level of performance. And that's what the situation is.
I can get your point, sir. But what I was looking was, there is, on a sequential basis, we have seen growth in our revenues, top line, bottom line. And seasonality factor or the year-ending part or whatever the pillars that we get in advance from our customers, also give us some understanding, and you are very correct that we are only even not even 10 to 15, 18 days into the quarter if we take exclude the holiday. So a fair point that we won't be able to comment on the same, but taking into account how the business environment is has shaped up over the past 9 months, there is a very likelihood for us to keep this trajectory. This could be a good understanding. Sir,
for everyone's assumption, you know, I think as of right now, I don't see anything unstable in the market. Like I said, I can only say that the market doesn't seem overly positive, it doesn't seem overly negative. It just seems like a normal situation. Which for us, like I said, even after these ups and downs, you know, even with the supply chain situation stabilizing to some extent, you know, it's good because it just means, you know, things are, you know, better with less external factors controlling everything. So I can't, like I said, we can't predict, neither do we project, you know, as far as Q4 or any other time goes. Yeah, hopefully we'll have a good quarter. We'll see. You know, in the end of 3 months, I'm sure we'll be here in April 20th or 24th or whatever that day is, and you know, I'm sure we'll have the numbers on the table that time. If you have patience.
Sir, when the board looked at this number of 400 crore top line, the projection for FY 2024-25, how likely would be the mix, sir, from the consumable segment and the printer sale? What are we factoring in when we are looking at a 400 crore top line. In terms of the consumable percentage,
the board.
Yeah.
So there is, I mean, I don't see the mix changing too much. We are already at a good mix.
So can you comment on what the mix have been for the quarter? I'm very sorry to interrupt you. What was the mix for the consumable?
Yeah, I think Jaydeep has put it out. Jaydeep, if you just want to repeat this.
I'll repeat it. Mr. Saket, it is for the Q3, about 20% of the revenue came from printers, 57% came from the consumables, about 14% from the service, and the space contributed 8%, roughly 100%.
Correct, sir. And sir, how has been the performance of the investments we have made in the two companies, Innovative and the Netherlands ones, and what are our programs, what are we emphasizing going ahead for the next 2 years? How are these companies going to contribute to Control Print, these two investments?
So I think we just answered these questions about Markprint, but Jaydeep will repeat these again. Just give me one. Jaydeep?
Yeah, sure. I'll first talk about Markprint. See, we acquired Markprint on the 4th of July, and then we are consolidating only from the 5th of July onwards. But as of now, we are roughly about approximately 500,000 euros in the top line revenue from operations. And the overall income is about your net profit, what you say, is about 11% of the sales for Markprint. When we talk about Innovative Course, which was our acquisition earlier on, so for the 9 months, like we are about 5.67 crores of revenue, and we've just now broken even, and it is a marginal profit towards the end of the day. I mean, we are in positive in net profit now.
Right, sir. And what is the likelihood of their contribution, I mean, like the growth which we can, these companies can project going ahead? What steps are we taking to improve the profitability? First of all, their reach, the revenue profile, and thereby the profitability also, sir. What are the steps that are in the anvil? Are any further investments we are contemplating, sir?
I can say, at least regarding ICIPL, you know, the fact is that, you know, we had some supply chain issues. Now, they are sort of like more of an economy type of a brand or whatever you want to call it, right, of ours. Or not an economy brand, but like a subsidiary which is slightly focused on the slightly more cost-conscious part of the market as compared to Control Print. Now, what happened was, you know, we had a shortage of printers. So, actually, what, you know, some of the components we use in our printers are common to the printers we supply to them. So, actually, on our own supplies, situation with them over the last 12 to 18 months has actually been very poor. So, we've had issues, and, you know, I even did mention on the previous call that, in fact, we had to, you know, we've actually lost some orders in the last 12 odd months because we've not been had the supplies. So we've had to sacrifice some of the, you know, the C and D category type customers, you know, in some cases. But the situation has been a bit worse with them because we've not been able to supply them properly. So now that our supply chain is coming back to normal, hopefully we get a better result out of them in the coming year because our supply to them will also improve. And, you know, it's also slightly, they have taken some more time to understand the printer. And, you know, it's because our people have been working on this printer for generations. So even when it changes from one generation to the next, you know, we have issues and we have to do a lot of training, but at least there's a base of familiarity. For them, it's totally new. So, you know, that could have also been a contributing factor. But the supply chain was the biggest issue in the performance of ICIPL, or I really do believe they would have done, you know, significantly more business. But I hope that now, if there are no supply chain issues from our side, we will see a better performance from them going forward. And regarding Markprint, of course, we might want to invest some more money in them. That's partly also because we want them to be able to handle some more things for being able to support us. So, but at the same time, you know, we expect them to grow also. And so, you know, the money we've invested, we expect them to provide a return on that also, besides what we expect to benefit in terms of our own synergies.
So what's happened is, if you didn't hear earlier, they've been busy executing their orders because they have to bill before December 31st because their customers require that. So some of the expected projects we were working on together ended up going slow. And hopefully, you know, by March, we'll actually see some of the initial results of those projects. And, you know, another 12 to 15 months, we'll actually, like, make those products, we'll fine-tune those products so they're extremely reliable. And, you know, they are market competitive, if not market leading. And then they can, at that point of time, start getting significant revenue for us.
So a small point to continue to it. So when the when we invested in the company, was it through new equity issuance or where we acquired the stake from the existing promoter? I mean, how much money was invested in the company to grow the business, and how much was paid to the promoter, the promoter there?
Yeah, so I think in our disclosure, it was clear that we spent 1.5 million euros to buy out one non-working partner. And a part stake of the working partner. We bought 75% of the company. That has been as a buyout of the existing shareholders. And 25% of the company is with the current managing director. The person who's running the company.
So none of the payment has gone to grow the business. It is the total payout has been towards to the promoters to acquire the controlling stake.
Yes.
Okay, and as you mentioned, you mentioned that you will be growing the business with the money you have paid to them. So whether they have any commitment to further deploy the same to grow the business, or I could not understand what you were trying to convey there, sir.
No, I said that we obviously invested with the reason to acquire the technology and use it for our own markets. And at the same time, we believe that they also can grow and capture their own markets and grow. So both companies can grow. We can benefit because they can help supply some products where we can use it for certain parts of the top end of our market, the premium segment. And they can also grow because obviously they are growing, and that's why we invested in them. And then, you know, they have their own requirements in Europe also. So the situation was that because as you said, we have invested the majority of the money or the entire set of money to buy some existing stake. We do feel that there is a need to look at investing some minor amount of money in the business. This is also, like I said, partly because we want that our own development is not slowed down so that they have extra capacity so that they can support their own European requirements, but also they can support Control Print for its requirements for India, because we don't take things from them as is. We want some changes to the products. Otherwise, we feel that it'll be too expensive for us. So we're starting, yes, on the expensive side, but that's a very small market. So we need to make some changes and work together to optimize those products. And even the performance and the ruggedness for India needs to be at a different. So there are some changes we need from them, which cost money. And takes development effort, resources, and time. And because we want it for ourselves for Control Print, you know, we are looking at increasing a little bit of money directly into the company, not to buy out any promoters or anyone else, to expand the resources of marketing.
So, sir, going ahead, when will we see the product introduction from this acquisition for Netherlands? When can we look, what is our plan so that we will be introducing their product at the right price to the customers in India?
Some products, like I said, by March of this year, they will not be optimized to that level that we want, but they will work. And then, you know, it's a continuous process always with us. You know, it's never a one-time thing. So you get the product, you have to put it in the market. There are customers who will complain about many things. Then you will go back and you will change and you will get closer to what the customers want, you know, and then you will change. And at the same time, we'll also work on, suppose we make a higher volume of this product, how do we get that cost down, you know, so that we can increase the market further and, you know, sort of create a cycle of an economy of scale. So this is something that I personally believe normally takes, you know, 12 to 15 months after the first product is launched at a minimum. So I expect that if the product launch is successful, you know, or if the product is, you know, has a market, it will take us another 12 to 15 months from March, 12 to 18 months maybe before.
Right, sir. And a small point, sir, which industry are we first, will be introducing the product, getting to which industry, sir?
Mainly pharmaceutical, and also some industrial customer of ours who require it for some branding purposes.
Right, sir. And sir, what have been our utilization levels for the consumable segment, sir, currently?
I have no idea, but we can definitely, there's no stress, you know, we can make more, need to.
The issue
has been more right now, again, of supply-related issues for us regarding consumers production. So, where, you know, we had some shortages of certain e-resins and dyes and stuff. We couldn't make the production yet. But now, I think that streamlined, I mean, there's no shortage of capacity. I think we can always work, like, you know, more hours if we have to. So I think it should be okay right now.
You are explaining
like, no damage
required at least. Sorry, sir, I interrupted you. Last line, sir, what you said?
No, I said just no capex required, if that's what you meant to ask.
Okay, sir. You are trying to explain that whatever the headwinds we were facing earlier because of the supply chain issues, those are now back to normal. And as and when the demand, as in the normal course of business, when the demand picks up, we would be in a position to easily supply the market without any further capex. This is the better understanding, correct understanding, sir?
No, so I think that there are supply chain related issues. There are less than before, but I never said there were no supply chain related issues. And I said that, we are paying money to buy things from the spot market where we have shortages, or, you know, we are trying to look at alternative suppliers, or, you know, who are similar. If the same product is available, but normally we don't have exact copies of the same product, so it's a problem. We have similar products and so on. So, but yeah, in terms of the fact that, yes, we can increase our revenues without incurring capex, that's not an issue. The supply chain issue is a different issue. But it's improving. I'll say the situation is improving. So, you know, before we had 50 parts which are short out of 1,000, maybe now it's 15 or 20, but there's still shortages, you know. And we did one software re-engineering to change one critical part, but it was so difficult that, you know, I don't think there's any appetite to do it again. So, those sort of things, I think we will just pay more money. It's better for us to just pay more money.
Right, sir. To just keep up the service with the customers so that their lines are not
disturbed. Yeah, because what happens is if you change one thing, you have to do so much testing, development, and then you have two lines of, you know, components for the same product. Then your economy just scale splits, and, you know, there's a lot of other issues that happen. So it's not easy for us to accommodate any type of change. In one generation of printer, at least. Because, you know, if you look at our printers overall, it seems like we talk 600-800 printers, but, you know, still nothing. You know, if you look at real production, this is not like a real production volume. It's a very small volume.
Didn't get your last point, sir. Come again.
I said, even if you look at 600-800 printers a quarter, I said, it's not a real production volume. It's very small. I mean, you know, there are people who are making washing machines or fridges or something. The other ones are like real volume, you know, if you look at this is nothing, you know. It's like, even if you make 3,000-4,000 printers here, it's nothing. People are making like millions of TVs or phones, or, you know, so they are the ones with the real volume. And they can afford to maybe even have, you know, two lines, or re-engineer the entire software or something to accommodate some, you know, shortages and stuff. I think for us, it's too difficult to do that.
So lastly, sir, returning cash to the investors, sir, definitely applaud the board declaring this interim dividend. But when we look at the tax incidence part of it, because of the changes brought into the same, the tax incidence is higher and it is taxed at your investor. So I request the board and a few people through you that innovative ways or others should be deploying returning cash to us rather than looking at only the dividend as a payout. So the short point was the tax incidence appears to be higher. Since you are also the largest shareholder, you can you are feeling the same thing as the investor are.
Yeah. So Saket, definitely you have raised this point earlier. In fact, maybe some other investors also have, I'm quite sure. And I think we spoke about it. So I did say, in fact, we do have, more than 50 crores in cash or cash equivalents or something. And I did say that when we go above that level, we would be returned looking all the excess back to shareholders unless there are some acquisitions that we might make. So we are looking, of course, at all options. All growth options for the business. We are looking also at how to return excess cash, if there are no available things. So I can't say, this was a quarterly result. Obviously, in April will be when we come back to you, there will be our final result. And, that time, maybe that time or the AGM, time would be where we'll come out with a clear path of action. Because we've been quite clear that our business doesn't require much capex as of right now. Of course, there's small things here and there, like putting a few hundred thousand euros extra into Mark Print and maybe a few crores here and there, but nothing major. It's more of a technology based business, and we have the core technologies with us as of right now. So like I said, the options would be acquisitions, strategic growth areas that way we can look at beyond acquisitions also, like partnerships or other avenues closely related to coding, marking, digital printing, and the packaging industry. We did announce a V-Shapes joint venture. I think we've disclosed that sometime or the other.
We did.
Sometime maybe. Yeah. So we've, and of course, like, we were very clear that we will return the excess cash. And, of course, the method of the return, is not my decision. It'll be a board decision. You are correct that I am paying a 40% something tax. But it's not my decision of how the excess, cash would be returned to the shareholders. It will be returned, but, the method I can't say. As of right now, I only know buybacks and dividends. If there are any other innovative methods, we would.
Yes, buyback at the time of coming with buyback, the tax incidence would be on the company, and whoever participates won't be paying any capital gain. So that would be a slightly prudent way, but the tax incidence would be then falling on the company, which is currently when we are paying dividend, that is on your recipient, on your shareholder. So that will change going there. So that will again be a cost on the company. As today, the tax incidence is on your investors.
So if we continue to maintain, I can only say this much, if we continue to maintain a cash balance well in excess of 50 crores, which is the case right now, if that is the case at the time of either our annual meeting or our AGM, depending on what the board decides, they will get back to the shareholders with further details on how they plan to reward shareholders or at least redistribute the excess cash which cannot be used profitably by the company. I can't say more than that.
Sir, any update on the Liberty Chemical and the video just start, sir?
I'm sorry to interrupt, sir. I would request you to please reach
out. Yes, ma'am. I have got my sufficient time. Thank you for...
Thank you, ma'am. We have the next question from the line of Jayesh Gandhi. But before we move ahead, ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management will be able to address questions from all the participants in the conference, please limit your questions to two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Jayesh Gandhi from Harshad Gandhi. Please go ahead.
Sir, I have actually only one question. How many years are still left till we enjoy the tax advantage in Guwahati operations?
Hello.
I have no idea. Jaydeep, when you work on this?
Another 5 years to go.
Okay, and then we go straight back to 25% of tax, or do we, I mean, is it going to be a gradual, or how it will be?
So we'll get back to you on this.
Oh, okay.
I believe we'll have max credit available though, no, if it doesn't lapse right before then. Because technically we're at a 0% tax right now, right? So technically we would have a NET credit available. I think. But again, that's a fair point. We'll revert back to you if that's the case. I think this question has been raised in the past. I believe we have a MAT credit, although we don't show it in our accounts. But we do have a MAT credit available to us, which we can use in the future against taxes. So we can maybe maintain at the MAT rate for even post the next 5 years. Even post 5 years.
Got it. So basically, for at least for next 5 years, we hover around somewhere between 17 to 20%. Is it?
Yeah.
Okay, that's all from my side. Best of luck for future.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Alisha Mahavla from Invasion Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the speaker. Just wanted to understand the 400 questions that set up. Are we planning to go anywhere?
Ms. Mahavla, your voice is breaking. I would request you to kindly come in the network area, please.
Am I audible?
Yes, please proceed.
Yeah. So I just wanted to know, for the 400 crore revenue aspiration that the board has set out, are we planning to do any more inorganic acquisitions?
So the board has set out a 400 crore standalone revenue target. Definitely, we would be looking also at inorganic acquisitions, but that would not hopefully be part of this. So I think whatever ICIPL or Markprint or anyone else contributes is not part of this target. So this has been put as a standalone target on us.
And historically, on standalone, this business used to do a mid to high teen kind of growth, and it is an oligopoly market where I think gaining market share is also not really easy and up for grabs. So what is inherently changing for our business? Is it some particular sectors doing well, or being branched out into white spaces that we were not addressing earlier to aspire for growth, which it's been a while since the business has seen?
No, so this specific thing is actually growth that happened maybe in the last 2 to 3 years, but didn't show up because, even though people bought printers and there was a growth, people are not using the printers to the full capacity because, the demand for our customer's customer, because like in the end, like I said, our customer's customer might have been lacking. So a lot of our customers were not producing at that capacity. And now they're just using the machines more. And that's why we got more business specifically this quarter, maybe to some extent in the first 2 quarters also. So it's not anything extra special from the market. It's just, our customers producing more. And hopefully one of the things that will help us is, which we discussed earlier, there was some cost increases and we are hopeful that we'll be able to push through a price increase, which is facing a lot of fierce resistance, and that will help our revenues in the coming financial year. And besides that, the non-CIJ market and the automation requirements of customers has increased. So there are other things like track and trace. There are things like coding on the outside cartons, warehouse management aspects. People are looking at other areas also. And these are also contributing to growth. So, I think that there are factors which are increasing the amount of coding required. Like even right now, something happened where the government made it like you have to print per gram or per 100 ml. I don't know what, or something like that was there. If you have a pack of biscuits of 80 grams, you have to print the price per gram also. For us, like, suddenly there was a lot of requirements we were running around because we had to, do this or print the price per 100 ml or price per 100 grams or something, not just the price. So that just creates like an additional demand. You know, in a lot of cases, sometimes it can also cause a lot of additional problems because, you know, then it means a lot of extra work. But so I think the fundamentally, you know, there has been some market share gains for us, but part of the bounce back that has happened because of people who are just using the printers less and they're just getting back to normal use. I wouldn't even say it's normal usage. I would say like it's still slightly less than optimal, but it's coming back there.
And is there any particular sector that is really firing for us? I know we were well, or you know, has the sector or client concentration skewed in a different direction, which is leading to this growth?
So I think before we were like a single jet engine where we were very industrial oriented. Now I think the packaging sector, which would be, you know, food, which would include, of course, not only like food, would include all the sectors like dairy and beverage and, I mean, dairy and bakery and so on and so forth. But food, beverage, you know, FMCG, personal care, which is always a stronghold of ours, and you know, pharmaceutical. So I think we're doing well in the packaging sector. We have increased our overall percentage of revenue from the packaging sector as a whole, and we continue to maintain our industrial sales and our market share there. So I think by basically being a little bit more broad-based in some sectors where we were quite weak, frankly, I mean, like you said, we're still the number four in the packaging sector between the four of us, but we are, you know, in a significantly better position than what we were before. So I think that's helped stabilizing our revenue and the growth.
And so then just one last question, you know, in the previous call also you had mentioned that there is some high cost inventory that will take some time to move out of the system, and we are seeing some of that. But when do we think that margins will stabilize and some of these supply side issues which have hit us will be, you know, we would have crossed it in our stride?
Jaideep, I think maybe you should answer this.
You mentioning about the supply chain issues, right?
Yes.
See, overall, if you look at our cost of production, you know, like we are at a steady 40 to 44% cost of production and all, which includes manufacturing overheads. There exists some room for improvement definitely for us. But at the moment, we are really cut short because, you know, like of this short supply of semiconductors and chips. And the margins are reducing on a marginal basis because we are buying mostly from the spot markets. Because our regular vendors, you know, like we are having steep lead times about 26 weeks or 52 weeks. So we are having a high-level strategy to, buy so that we don't run out of stock and make sure that, you know, the sales will have proper inventory to produce.
So we believe that the 60% gross margin and 25% EBITDA margin is sustainable?
Yes, I believe. In fact, we can definitely improve on that. I mean, if we increase our operations, there obviously will be economies of scale attached to it. So, I mean, if things are settled down in, let's say, 3 to 6 months' time, we would imagine improvement in our EBITDA levels as well.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Sunil Shah from Turtle Star. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Shiv. Thank you, Jaideep. I have just one question to ask, and this is about when we say that our installed base is 16,500 printers, those are active printers which give us revenue in one form or another, like consumables, spares, service. Is that the case, or it has been the journey so far? How is it?
Hello. Yeah, so I think if it's just 16,500 printers mentioned, then these are printers, because I think we're sold more than that.
So what's the life of this printer? Meaning when we say we have sold 800 printers in this quarter, how much would be like repeat customers and how much would be new customers? I just want to understand how are we expanding our market reach? So is it new customers or is it existing customers? How is it? Out of those 800 sold in the quarter. Yeah.
know, the majority of sales are always repeat businesses, you know, because even a new customer, right? So whatever orders you give to me for 3 months, that comes in new. So even if you, and most customers, what they do is they'll buy, you know, 2-3 printers from us, even if it's a big company, and they'll check it. And once they're comfortable, then they'll go in a bigger way. So they turn out as repeat customers in our books. But obviously they are.
Sir, I'm sorry to interrupt, sir. Can you please repeat your last line? As we were not able to hear.
No, I said, yeah. I'm sorry. I said we have been penetrating new segments, you know, as I have mentioned. So that's a better indication of probably, you know, that we are successful in creating, you know, fresh avenues of growth, you know, fresh, you know, sources of revenue within the industry for ourselves. So, so I think the industrial segment, like I said, was always strong. And I think what's changed for us as a strategy in the last 2 to 3 years is that we've added a second engine of growth in the packaging sector. And of course, the packaging sector is slightly more stable than the, you know, industrial sector. So that's also been, you know, have a second source of growth, but it's also like a stabilizing influence.
So just to understand this better in terms of what I was asking, so 16,500 printers are installed and 800 have got sold only in this quarter. So in that sense, I would believe that I'm expanding my market reach by 5% in this quarter. If 16,000 is my base and if I'm sold 800 more, which means I'm expanding it by 5%. However, that is not the case because as you stated, 800 is large number of repeat customers. So if the repeat customers are like, let's say, 640 out of 800, which means I am expanding my market by only 1% in the quarter, is that the case? That's what I want to understand.
So I don't understand what you mean by expanding my market. So we look at it as the number of unique customers we have, and we look at it by the number of active printers that we have. So if we sold 800 printers, as you said, that would be an addition, 5% of the existing base would be installed. That would increase. Of course, there would be also some of those 16,500 printers which, you know, would become like old and not be used anymore, or some of those customers might go bankrupt or might shut that specific factory's operations. So some printers also go out of the base. Like I said, you know, the printer has a life between 8 to 12 years, and you know, that's a fair judgment that people can take. You know, so a printer sold can, you know, in general will give 8 to 12 years of life unless that factory is not in operation anymore, or that line is not being used anymore, or nothing untoward happens. So, so for us, yeah. The 800 printers would be an additional 5% increase in the base, but like I said, it could also be balanced with the fact that some printers would also have become old and fall in disuse in this period. So, in terms of number of unique customers that we address, yes, that's a separate question. That I don't think we disclose that information as yet, but that's the way we would measure our reach, in terms of number of unique customers that we address compared to before. No, I don't know if we've disclosed that as yet, so I can't give you that specific information right now. But, Jaideep?
Yeah. No, we disclosed
this information in the past. Did we ever disclose the number of unique customers that we service in the past? I think we actually have it in our company profile presentation. I don't think we've given it in our investor presentation anywhere.
So I
don't know.
Yeah.
Huh?
We can give the information. And just Shiva, to add on what we just now said, see, we do not even consider all these dead printers or printers which we give it on demo basis or, you know, on a standard testing purposes. So this 814 is not 5% of that. So that's what is the answer. So we have.
All right. I think that's what exactly what I was saying. 16,500 is the active base. 800 whatever is the additional base which would add to the 16,500.
And of course, some of that 16,500 in the next 3 months would also not be used, and that will be reduced. So it's not every printer I sold is going to be used, but some printers also fall into disuse. So that's how you have to calculate our active installed base and our market reach.
Yeah. So just to simply put, 16,500 printers have been sold, 800 we sold in the quarter. So if we consider that in next quarter it will be 17,300 odd printers sold from our side.
No,
but out of that we wouldn't know how many are active, etc. Is that right?
No. There's some bit of correction if you ask me. See, 16,500 plus is the active installed base. So here we are clearly ignoring, you know, like anything which is on demo or testing purposes. So even if we sell, let's say 700 more, I won't add it automatically to the 16,500 because that's a ever evolving population of printers. Some of them might be returned, some of them might be, you know, converted, some of them might be dead. So as of December, we've got about 16,500 plus active install base.
So if I may explain to you more carefully, anyone who doesn't do business with us in 6 months, any printer that has not been done business with us in 6 months, is then considered as a dead printer and it goes off our install base.
Oh, great.
Is that a better answer for you? So if you've not done business within 6 months, you will not be part of the 16,500.
Right.
So
I'm just repeating what I have understood. 16,500 installed base is giving me revenue in one form or another, or in a 6 month basis. And to that, I'm adding around 800 odd printers in the quarter. So that again would perhaps give me more revenue going forward. Yeah, so that's exactly what I'm saying.
It would be 17,300 as you said, but some of them will also not be used. And I don't know in this active investor presentation will be updated every quarter, every 6 months. So that is a thing that I will, we'll have to get back to you on that.
So probably yes, every year end we can update it much better.
Fine.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So it's like an automatic thing that happens for SAP. It's calculated.
Yeah.
And we also have a target of every customer that hasn't bought. And of course, we get in touch with every customer that hasn't purchased for a month or 2 months, you know, depending on their cycle. So all of these things are already programmed in. But if someone has not purchased for 6 months, it is considered as a not active printer for always for us. And then it would not come in this list of 16,500. Certainly.
Okay. Fine, sir. Thank you. Thank you so much for the time and the answer. Thanks, sir.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Ashok Shah from LFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. Sir, as I understand, we have a property card for the Liberty Chemical land. So, still encroachment is not getting vacated, or what's the problem? Can you just enlighten that situation?
Ashok ji?
Yeah.
So, the thing is, from my understanding, there's no basic change in the Liberty Chemicals, Chandivali situation, you know. Mr. Kabra is directly handling that matter. So you will have to speak to him directly on this. But my knowledge is that there is no major change in any direction.
But enforcement is vacated or still not clear? Matter is not clear.
No, the encroachment is not clear. If it was clear, we would have sold the land by now. But I'll be able to speak to Mr. Kabraji on, you know, where the encroachment status is.
Okay, and regarding this VideoJet case, is that any further feedback?
No, actually the case is exactly where it is, because since COVID happened, there's been no court hearings, so it's just stagnant right now.
Okay, sir. Second question is regarding dividend. We are generally paying two dividends in a year. So, as I understand, from the shareholding pattern, we have around 3 lakh share which are in physical mode. So, these are going out of the scheme or the out of the way. Maybe many of the dividend may not have been encashed. So, finally, this money going to the government or IEPF. So is it better or it's better to take one buyback every year, a small buyback? So due to that, this money doesn't go to the government and money is distributed to directly to shareholders who are actually a shareholder and not part of the IEF fund.
Shoki, we've discussed the buyback and shareholder and dividend issue, you know. In fact, Sarkarji earlier had raised this question. So I think I have covered that and I said that, you know, maybe if there is more than 50 crores in cash still in 3 months from now or when the AGM is happening, the board will, you know, take a decision.
So that is... That
but I don't know what the board will decide. The board has said that they will return any cash more than 50 crores if there is no acquisition or nothing happens to the shareholders. And, you know, I don't know whether they'll take that decision in the next quarter or the quarter after that. But, you know, the board can only decide whether it's a buyback, whether it's a dividend, whether they have some other policy that they do. So, I, you know, this is not in my scope to answer you.
That is okay. Can you just guide me then out of the 3 lakh share which are in a physical format, how many dividend is encashed for the share or some dividend is not getting encashed?
No, I don't know. I know that good money goes in the IEPF every year, but you know, Jaydi, what do you report, please?
So, what's the quantity of the shares which are not getting encashed dividend?
Yeah, I think I'll revert back to you on this. Every year we do deposit back into the IPL fund here, that's for sure. But if you're going to stay for some time on the call, we'll get back to you with this answer.
So how many number of shares are vanished or shareholders are not encashing the dividend? That is my question. Yeah. Okay, thanks for...
Ashoki, JDP thing, he's asking someone to find out.
Yeah,
maybe by the end of the call, we'll be able to give you an answer.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Devanshu Sampat from Yes Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Good evening, sir. I hope I'm audible.
Please proceed.
Yeah, Devanshu, go ahead.
Yes, yes. Okay, two questions. One is on the inventory on books. What does it stand at currently?
Hello.
I think it's about the same as the three quarter to half year figure, about approximately. But
the
inventory
is 67 crores.
Okay.
Yes.
And how much of this is because of the overstocking that we may be doing to meet the client demand?
So there is actually overstocking. We are going with a prudent method of management, sir. In order to tide out the crisis because of the shortages of semiconductors and the chips in the market, we are actually having a strategy to build up some stock so that we do not run out of the required raw materials for the production. So it's not a deliberate case of, you know, overstocking, but we are actually reacting, more of a reactionary measure, and being very risk averse and conscious of the fact.
Got it. And the second question I wanted to ask is about how much of revenue do you think we would have lost this quarter because of supply side issues?
I don't know how much we've lost specifically this quarter, but yes, it has been a bit continuous. I would say like in this year, at least, you know, maybe a couple of percent would have been at least more if they weren't supply, at least 2-3%. You know,
We could have easily crossed the 80 crore mark, right, basically in this quarter, had it not been for these issues.
No, I'm saying over the year. Over the year. This quarter we did 74 or something. How much did you get exactly there? 74, I think.
Right.
So I think in this quarter, Devanshu, it affected us less than the first two quarters. So I can't say you on a quarter-to-quarter basis. But on an annual basis, I think we could have run 3%, 2-3% more if this didn't happen. This quarter, we got some, you know, some of the stuff we had previously, you know, luckily, whatever, we were able to manage. But in the first two quarters, it surely affected us more, even in the previous year.
Okay, noted. Thank you. And wishing you all the very best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We have the next follow-up question from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor & Company. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, sir. I just got disconnected after. You were speaking about the MAT credit part. So, if you could elaborate, what were you trying to explain?
No, we just said, Saket, that our 0% tax for Guwahati lasts for 5 more years. So for 5 more years, unless the government changes its policy, we should be under the MET umbrella. At the end of 5 years, we will have a sizable MAT credit, which we can offset against future taxes. So we should hopefully be able to remain in the MET umbrella for even some period post 5 years. But this is not like something we have to obviously go through with our auditor to give you a confirmed statement. So you can just take it as a best idea of the situation. You know, I cannot say this with 100% confidence till we have to check with the auditor.
So, Jerry sir, do you have this advance tax number as on 15th December? What have been our tax outgo, actual cash outgo we have paid?
The advance tax number, yes, we have. It should be about the indirect taxes is something separate, but it's about 8 or close.
8 crores we have paid.
Yeah.
As on 15th December. Okay, no sir. Advance tax generally are paid before 15.
Yeah, so I'm talking about the indirect taxes which you have.
Advance.
There's nothing else receivable and payable as of now. We've paid everything.
Correct, sir. Right, sir. And lastly, sir, on this JV part you were also explaining, the last one in the month of December, how is this going to benefit the company, the latest one, this VP, V-Shapes SRL part, what are we eyeing through it?
Yeah, so V-Shapes is a company that makes some innovative unit dose packaging solutions, high quality type of sachet replacement. But also like the specially appealing part for us is that the solution is not only innovative, but it's a fully recyclable solution. And there's also a compostable option. So it was a tie-up where, you know, we felt that with our expertise and our reach in the packaging industry, we could tie up with them and take advantage of it and also combine some digital printing solutions of ours to service certain customer needs out there. So that's all the joint venture. It's still very early days. If you posted more, we just try to say that, you know, we are looking at other growth avenues and options also, which are related closely to our industry. And definitely, I do believe, in fact, there might be one or two press releases out on that matter. So if we can try to put it out in the next quarter's presentation, we can put an additional note on that if there is a demand for that.
And how much you have invested, sir, as of now?
So we've made a provision for a 10 crore joint venture. Can you revert back? Because right now what's happening is we're incorporating our subsidiary, and then V-Shapes will then take equity in that subsidiary because first, Jaydeep, I think maybe better explain this exactly.
Yeah. Hello.
Yes, sir. Please explain. Please continue.
So, you're talking about the V-Shapes thing?
Yes. Please explain the V-Shapes transaction, sir.
Well, V-Shapes, we've just signed a JV agreement. The company incorporation is yet to take place. But overall, we stand committed to, you know, like as of now, we would be investing about 10 crores of rupees in the initial franchise, and 90% of the shareholding would be our capital, which is a controlled limited capital, and 10% by the overseas investor. As of now, it's not yet crystallized about the exact nature and when we are doing it. But overall, as per the JV agreement, this is the overall thing. So 10 crores in initial phase and 5 crores later on by virtue of a preferential capital by equity we will do it. So it's 10 plus 5.
So how is this 10 crore going to be accretive to us? Hello?
Yeah, I missed out the last line, sir.
Sir, how is this 10 crore going to be accretive for us? What is the business plan? This is a large sum of money that we are contemplating to invest.
Sir, the business plan is that we are going to do a supply of their machinery in India. We are looking at that option. We also might look at the option of contract filling to be done over here. The machines are of a unique speciality. In India they've got some sort of foothold, but not majorly. They have also expanded to India. So we believe, you know, like we'll be the first players in the Indian market for such kind of machines. And so as of now, the business plan, the full-grown business plan is being developed. We've just signed a JV agreement, and once it is finalized, we will, you know, like get to the board, we'll get it approved, and then the incorporation of the company will happen.
Right, sir. What Shiva sir has just explained, sir, I think so much needs to be explained rather than only the statutory disclosure that we have done for the 10 crore part. And I think so, Shiva sir, please look into it that the further designation of information is provided for the size of the company which we are, a 10 crore rupees investment for this packaging business and the potential which Jaideep sir is just articulating to is not very well explained to the investing community. Just a two-pager submission as per the disclosure does not speak volume. So would request to dwell as you approach Shiva said with a further press release or better information of what exactly are we contemplating to do with these shapes going ahead.
I'm sorry to interrupt, sir. Kindly stay connected. We have we are trying to connect Mr. Shiva as his line has got disconnected. Please stay connected while I try to reconnect. CFO sir, do you want to take this question?
No, I have the business potential and the type of machines. Well, I would let Mr. Shiva Kabra handle it.
Sir, kindly stay connected while I try to reconnect.
I might, you know, just whatever information I know, I might try to explain that, you know, we would be into, you know, like supply of their machines into the Indian market. We can also look into, you know, like contract filling, like they have got unique machinery for, you know, like filling up food, cosmetics, some medical chemicals into sachets or pouches. So that's all what I can tell you as of now. Regarding the exact business plan, we have not yet fully developed it. Once we develop it, we'll take it to our board of directors and then we'll take the approval and then the incorporation of the company will happen. But in case, sir, if you want to know more details, then we might as well wait for Mr. Shiva Kabra to join this line and he will be able to answer.
Yeah, I'm here. I actually got disconnected.
Sir, we have one more participant. Can we take him?
Absolutely.
Okay. We have the next question from the line of Harsh Beria, and professional investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thanks for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yeah, Harsh.
Yeah.
Perfect. I recently saw that Control Print has been participating in conventions in Africa, and that was a very good thing to see. Can you talk more about it, about the expansion plans in the African market?
So, Harsh, right now, it was just an exploratory thing. We were looking at it actively about 2.5-3 years ago. Then, post the COVID part, you know, we're not really focused on this. And as I described in, you know, some previous communications, and we've had some supply chain related issues. You know, it would not make sense to take on commitments that we can't meet, you know, barely for our own markets and our own current requirements. So I think it's definitely something we're exploring. And as soon as we take some definitive steps, we will keep you posted on this.
Okay, thanks for that clarification. My next question is on a margin. So I think in the last quarter itself, you guys had mentioned that it takes 3 to 4 quarters to pass on price increase to our customers. And most of the price increase were just like in July, August quarter of 2023. Are we still in line with that? So my broader question is, this quarter our gross margin sank below 60%, which is after a long time. So I'm wondering if this is the bottom of our gross margins.
So I just want to say one thing to everyone. You know, I would request that all margins only be you know, calculated on a standalone basis, not on a consolidated basis. You know, for our subsidiaries, as of right now, there's no requirement for profitability. You know, it's growth that we want for from them. Not, you know, there's enough scope to make margins later as their revenues expand. So far, for our own gross margins, I think Jaideep has addressed this question, you know, quite hardly especially, where we did say that, you know, we've got some, definitely some increases that we've faced because of, you know, short supplies in our markets, and we've had to purchase, you know, several things for the spot market. And it was covered that it was not only the electronics and semiconductors, where obviously we saw the maximum impact, also in certain things for the chemicals, certain specialties in that we use, also in our fluids. So, you know, overall we saw that there was a cost increase. And also we've seen beyond spot purchases, there has been an actual pricing increase in the price of semiconductors and electronics in general across the board. And then we did finally say that we are in the process of increasing the prices. We've started, some customers accepted, and the bulk still have to accept it, but we are in that process. It's well underway, you know, and hopefully that should at least cover all the cost increases that we have faced, you know, genuine cost increases. And I would say, like, beyond beyond just the cost of, you know, like spot purchases, there has also been a little bit of a depreciation of the rupee, I think, you know, against the dollar. And that had some impact maybe in the past, you know, because a lot of the things that come from some countries is also priced in dollars or benchmarked to the dollar.
Yeah, makes sense. Thanks for that clarification. And lastly, I think when the line dropped off, you were explaining about your 10 crore investments in V-Shapes. Maybe you can comment more on it because the line dropped in the meanwhile. Are you answering Fakir's question?
So like I said, it's a unique thing. Obviously, being in the packaging industry, you know, we have a close link with the packaging machinery business and the packaging materials business. Although we are not actually supplying packaging machines and materials, we are more on the printing aspect and the coding and marking business. But we felt that there was something unique, and like I said, especially for us, what was interesting was not only that it was a unique format, which had value addition on you know, an innovative space, but also some of the solutions that are offered are recyclable, and some of the solutions offered are compostable, and that's something we felt was also a market demand that was there. So essentially, that's because we felt that there is a scope of something innovative, you know, something that we should explore. And it's also an area where we could be strong.
Thanks for the clarification. And that's it from my side.
Thank you.
Again, I just do want to say, you know, to people, because, you know, one of the previous participants did ask more details regarding a business plan. You know, we would rather take high risk opportunities, but which are around a sort of technology core, which is defendable, and it's not a commoditized business. I think I've explained this in the past, and I will just repeat that again. So if we invest in a business, it's going to be something where we feel that there is some proprietary technology, or there is you know, a technology barrier, and it is going to be at best an oligopoly or a monopoly. it's not going to be something where anyone can enter into that market. And of course, when you go for a technology-based solution, you know, there is always a much higher risk. I don't want to be clear to everyone. So it is a judgment call. We are going with the business plan, but, you know, the risk is high.
Thank you. A request to all the participants to limit their question to one per participant. Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor & Company. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Sir, I got the answer to the question about the V-shape investment which we are doing currently. And only as investors, sir, we wanted to understand the potential of what exactly V-shape brings on board for Control Print going ahead. Since 10 crore rupees investment for a company of our size is a sizable investment, and as you articulated just to the previous person, Harshbhai, that it's a high risk opportunity that we are taking. So going ahead, just a fair understanding of what are we seeing and how is Control Print going to gel with V-shapes going ahead? What kind of exclusivity or if an elaborate understanding or a press release would have followed post your JV going ahead, that would have surprised a lot of investors and interested party interest. That was the only understanding. So we are unable to visualize what are we trying to risk in V-shape going ahead. That was my broader question.
So I think, you know, the, like I said, Saket, the thing is, I mean, of course, what we have put out of, I think, a clear statement. I will put that. I think we've made all the statutory disclosures regards to our joint venture with V-shapes. Again, we're still in the process of doing some other legal proceedings to incorporate a subsidiary and a wholly owned subsidiary. Then we have to incorporate, get some FEMA, some sort of permission so that V-shapes can enter and so on and so forth. And there's a technical aspect to it which Jaideep can answer you. But, you know, as a business, fundamentally as a business, you know, everyone knows we are in the coding and marking business, coding, marking, digital printing. You know, the packaging machinery and the packaging materials business is a much bigger business. It is serviced mainly by people like Uflex, Cosmo, and so on, Polyplex. And of course, on the machinery side, people like Hassia or Nichrome or Bosch, people like them. But a lot of them are Me Too solutions. Some of them are innovative solutions. We are not interested in being anything which is commoditized. If we feel that there is, you know, some opportunities where we could service the market, especially, you know, if it could be something that's, you know, environmentally friendly and sustainable, that's something that our board would also, you know, and has encouraged us to look at. And if we feel that we can find the right types of innovative solutions in that space, which we believe could be, you know, a sustainable long-term business, we can look at that. India also, of course, will have a lot of talk on certain types of technologies and solutions, but maybe the willingness to pay actually a premium might not be that high. So it's a risk always, but it's worth exploring. And of course, you know, I can only say this much. If we enter into a tie-up with any company, it's obviously on an exclusive long-term basis. And, you know, obviously our lawyers and stuff are paid. And I hope that they've done a good job to make sure that, you know, the business is you know, clearly demarcated and you know, mutually beneficial for both sides. So so you know, we're not afraid of investing if it's something allied to our business, if it's something that we feel we can go to the same steps of customers, and we feel that the risk reward opportunity is positive. But like I said, you know, it is going to be a risky. There's always going to be a risk in any type of new venture.
Only short point was, sir, when we had zeroed in at 10 crore rupees investment, we have definitely looked at the business opportunity, the size which we are going to cater going ahead. And what I could Google out is V-shape is is an Italy-based organization in that single dose packaging product type. So definitely we must have worked before committing an investment of 10 crore rupees. We must have worked out the business opportunity. And as you mentioned, that the disclosure which we have done to the exchanges only speak of a number and our contribution in the stake which we are going to have. Nothing more than that, what the investment is towards. So that was my reason why I'm happy again and again of just understanding where are we going to spend this money and how, what kind of business opportunity of a company of a top line of 250 or 300 crores going to garner going ahead from the segment. That was all my choice was.
So part of that money is to, you know, invest in working capital because we're selling this machinery. The materials that go in this machinery are proprietary. So you have to buy some of the materials from us that go into this machinery. And so we need to have those materials and those machineries accessible in India so we can actually demonstrate those same to our customers. So let's say the bulk of the investments would go to working capital, which would primarily be inventory, so that we can, you know, show the same. And we're also setting up a contract filling facility in our Nalagarh factory, which would be used for specific customer requirements, especially in the initial phase where the product needs to be proven in the market. And what we're expecting is we're getting the feedback that a lot of customers want to print initial sample quantities or rather fill initial sample quantities with us. So, you know, it's a try before you buy type of a situation as of right now.
So this business will be housed at Nalagarh. I mean, the entire business will be rooted through the Indian domestic operations only. And they will be bringing the technology domestically for us.
Yes. So they already have some existing customers in India. And they will be merging that customer base into our JV once we start. But everything will be routed in through Nalagarh, at least all the machinery business. The materials is something that, of course, we don't manufacture ourselves. So we'll be sourcing it. It's a proprietary material, though, and you will have, you know, customers have to purchase that proprietary material from us, at least for the Indian market.
And which customer, which segment are we catering initially, sir? Where we are already merging the customers with, to which category we will showcase this V-shaped product?
So the easiest market is the pharmaceutical market because the willingness to pay is the highest and that's the highest price of the end product that they sell. And the other two target markets would be you know, some expensive cosmetic or... And the third market would be certain types of foods which are reasonably high in value. You know, could be jams, could be like that.
And when will this conclusion happen? It will culminate when, sir? And when will the money will be drawn?
No, so the process is already underway. We've already imported some machinery. We've already started working on it. But there is some legal things that are going on in the background, you know, like I said, the joint venture is being incorporated. There are some three Indian directors and seven shareholders and, you know, now all of those things have happened and then now we have to put an application for getting a foreign investment in. And so I don't know exactly how long it will take, but, you know, Jerry, do you want to answer this?
The first thing would be that, you know, like we'll get all, gather all the information for the incorporation of the company. As you would be aware, we'll follow all the basic steps of, you know, name approval and getting MOA and AOA passed on. It will take about a month or so for the company to be incorporated in India. And then we will, you know, go ahead with the rest of the procedures. So my guess is that another 2-3 months of time, I mean, all the legal processes would be done.
So as of now, out of the 10 crore, how much exact cash have we spent, a ballpark number?
No, as of now, the company is not yet incorporated, no?
Nothing has been spent as of
now. Having a bank account, then it is going to be subscribed and then we are going to deposit the money. So as of now, I mean, whatever investment would have been done, that's part of our investment.
Right. And our mass part of the story is, sir, where we are in the mass segment currently. In your initial comment also, you have not mentioned. How has been the contribution there for the mass segment?
I missed out on the last thing, sir.
On the mass segment.
I mean, as we all know, the mask business is basically a business based on, you know, how customers are fearing the COVID, and that's the primary basis of the business. So long as that fear factor remains and there are government mandates to keep the masks on in public places, then there is a steady demand. As of now, because of the latest news about the Chinese version and, you know, like 6 or 7 different variants which were there in the month of December, we feel that, you know, like, I mean, we, God forbid, nothing happens, but there is a slight increase in the, you know, sales of masks at the moment.
What was contribution for December quarter?
Well, I think we would be, I mean, it's a marginal increase in the, I mean, in business, and this year we would seek about, well, let's say about 7 or 8 crores of top line by the Q4.
And the entire asset is depreciated now.
Sorry, I'm not able to get you.
The entire asset has been depreciated. The depreciation benefit we have accrued completely.
Yeah, it's in the process. It's in the process.
Thank you. Thank you for all the elaborate discussion, sir. We hope to hear more on our future investment, whether it is V-shape or the Netherlands part, and coming up with better press release with more insight would be really very helpful. And thank you, Jadip Shivaji and Amtech for conducting this elaborate call. Thank you very much for the time and attention given to investors.
Thank you, Sakhaji.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Karan Bhatelia. Over to you, sir.
Thanks, Shiva. Thanks, Jaideep, for a very detailed phone call. Any closing remarks that you want to make?
No, I just think thanks to everyone. This was a pretty reasonably long call, but really happy that you know, people have taken a lot of detailed looks at all the questions they want to ask, especially in such a busy period for everyone, and we really appreciate it. So, you know, if there's some things that, if for whatever reason, sometimes I feel, you know, these questions come on us and we're not prepared. You know, if they feel that there are some questions that, you know, could be complicated, which are not covered in the investor presentation, then, you know, if people could email us, then, you know, we could actually, like, get those answers ready and, you know, publish them. Because we want to make sure that if there's a question which is relevant to the broader set of investors, then it would come on that investor presentation. You know, that's just my only request, if that's there, because sometimes we don't have those numbers exactly in front of us, and we don't want to, you know, provide an incorrect piece of information to this type of a call, you know, because it will be circulated widely. That would not be correct. But thanks, everyone, for coming, and, you know, look forward to seeing you again in April or sometime.
Yeah, thank you everybody for the support you've placed in us. We look forward to meeting you in after the Q4. Thanks all.
Thank you.
Thanks, Karan.
Thanks,
everyone.
Bye, Karan.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
On behalf of Asian Market Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.